Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blessings. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for the things you are doing right now. We thank you for those things you're going to do very shortly. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for making all things to work together for our good. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you for keeping us in perfect peace and in good health. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for putting upon us your glory and honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing your word to pass in our lives and situations. Thank you for bringing your promises and prophecies to pass in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your faithful commitment to this program we have been doing here every Tuesday. We thank you for using this program to solve problems in our lives. Thank you for healing us through this program. Thank you for delivering us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here in your presence right now to seek your face, to lay at your feet, and to pray. I ask, O Lord, that you speak to us from your throne in Jesus' name. Touch us and help us touch every life and deliver us, touch our lives and heal us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. Let us look at a Bible passage. Open your Bibles to Matthew. The the book of Matthew. Matthew 27. That is Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read I'm trying to select some few verses. Okay, let's just read from let us read from verse 45. Matthew chapter 27. I read from verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now, let me make you understand what sixth hour mean and ninth hour means. Yeah, if we look at a New Living Translation, New Living Translation, they say Matthew 27, verse 45. Yeah, it says at noon, that is at 12 noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Yeah. Did you see that? Yeah. You know, King James Version said at the sixth hour. Yeah. And then the meaning of the sixth hour is that at noon, and then the ninth hour means 3 o'clock. That is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I just want you to understand what a sixth hour means and what the ninth hour also mean. Yeah. Let me read further from King James Version. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, that is from 12 noon to 3 o'clock or 3 p.m. There was darkness over all the land. Verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama that backstanding, yeah, which is, I think it's Hebrew. It's a Hebrew tongue. Yeah. And the meaning, I mean, what you said was Hebrew language. And the meaning is that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for Elijah, that is for Elijah. And straight away one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rock rent. And let me read further. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just wanted to learn something from the death of Jesus. Every aspect of Jesus' life, when he lived as a man on earth, are full of a lot of lessons and significance. Yeah. So the life of Jesus before he went to the cross has a lot of lessons to teach us. Yeah, if you study his life from birth, in fact, even from his conception, a lot of lessons from when he was conceived and from when he was born and from when he was growing up and from when he started ministry, you know, a lot of lessons. And now, when he was on the cross, about to die, a lot of lessons too. And even after he had died, a lot of lessons and a lot of revelations. When I say lessons, I'm talking about revelation. Yeah, so you can take time to study about Jesus again. You can open your Bibles and study about him again. Study from his conception till he resurrected, and trust the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see so many things, so many revelations that are hidden in those events. Yeah. So, but today we are focusing on the significance of his death. Yeah. The meaning of the death of Jesus. What it actually means. Yeah, and what it means for us believers. What it has done for us. Yeah, and why we should connect with the blessings that his death brought unto us. Yeah, so now, if you look at that same passage again, from verse 45, that is Matthew 27, from verse 45. It says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So for good 3 hours, there was darkness. Yeah, and the next verse showed us what that darkness meant. You know, in verse 46, Jesus was saying, my God, why art thou forsaken me? Yeah, he was talking to God. He was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So there was never a time that God left him. Yeah, there was never a time that the Father left him until that moment. Yeah, until that very moment. Yeah, if you read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, you're going to see that it says, oh, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. And then he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then the latter part of that verse says, for God was with him. Yeah, so Jesus did a lot of exploits for God's kingdom. He healed a lot of people, delivered a lot of people, saved a lot of people, helped a lot of people, because God was with him. So God has never left him. God has never forsaken him. So he was surprised. I mean, in his spirit, he was uncomfortable when God left him for 3 hours. Yeah, so God left him for 3 hours. and within those 3 hours, there was darkness over all the land. Yeah, some of you may call it solar eclipse. Yeah, some of you may call it an eclipse of the sun. Yeah, you know, that is the scientific explanation. They say, oh, we have an eclipse of the sun. Yeah, but usually, even the eclipse that we used to have nowadays doesn't usually last for maybe sometimes for a few minutes, and then the eclipse will disappear. Yeah, but this particular eclipse of the sun that happened when Jesus was going to die lasted for 3 hours, not just few minutes. Yeah, it lasted for 3 hours. And Jesus explained what caused it. He said it was because the Father left him. So darkness covered the earth. Well, maybe not all the nations, but at least we saw in that place, and maybe all the nations, who knows? But we saw it in that place that darkness covered the entire land of Israel for 3 hours. So now, what does that mean? Apart from the fact that it means God left Jesus, what also does that mean? What does darkness covering the entire land? And I think I was doing a research some time ago, and in my research, somebody said that this darkness that happened for 3 hours did not only happen in Israel, that there was historical accounts that even in China, at that same period, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah. I saw it in the research that even in China, there was that 3 hours darkness. So which means, I think, is the rest of the world. Yeah, because people who have studied historical events of, you know, that happened in China, they told us that at that same time Jesus died. In China, they also saw the same eclipse for 3 hours. There was darkness. So which means many other nations experienced the same darkness. It's just that maybe nobody was able to document it. Yeah, but because Chinese people, they know how they document a lot. Yeah, because they have invented or how to write at a very early time in history. Yeah. So my point is that this darkness is a baptism. Yeah, this darkness that covered the earth for 3 hours. Yeah, is a baptism of death. Yeah, it's more like God baptized the whole world into darkness. Yeah, or maybe let's say God condemned the whole world to death. You might not be able to understand in depth, but I will try to explain in a way that you can understand. Yeah, so while this darkness was on the earth, God judged the whole world to death. Yeah, so God was baptizing the whole world to death. He was condemning the whole world and condemning all flesh to death. It was from that moment that the fate of the world was decided, the fate of the nations. That is the future of the world, the future of the nation, and the future of every life was decided at that moment. So from that moment, it was concluded in heaven. Yeah, that this world shall perish. Yeah, together with everything in her. Yeah, see, it was finalized in that very hour. Yeah, and then it was also finalized that the human body, the body of humans shall also perish. Yeah, because earlier before that time, God was keeping, God was keeping some righteous believers in paradise under the earth. At that time, paradise was under the head. Yeah, but paradise is no longer under the head. But at that time, paradise was just beside hell. Yeah, paradise was, you know, of course, was not so close to hell, but there's something. You will understand when Jesus was giving the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Yeah, so you will understand that paradise was actually under the earth, and at that time, I mean before Jesus died, paradise was under the earth, and there is a big gulf or big gap between paradise and hell fire. Yeah, which is the place of torment. Yeah, so God did not receive the souls of people that died to heaven during the time before the death of Jesus. Everyone that died, they were going down. After they have been buried, their souls will go down to the paradise that is under the earth, which is not heaven, but at least it is not a place of torment. Yeah. Yeah. So when Jesus died, God concluded that this earth can no longer be saved, and God condemned this earth to destruction. Yeah, and not only that, God also condemned the human body to destruction. That is, there is no way people will be able to save their souls by themselves anymore. You know, before the death of Jesus, people were the ones to save their souls by themselves. I believe you know that. Yeah, that was why God gave the law through Moses. So anyone that really followed the law, they will not be sentenced to hell. They will be sentenced to paradise, which after that time was under the earth. Yeah, so for that time, the people are to save their lives by themselves. Joshua said, I have placed before you life and death. Choose life so that you may live. Yeah, so God gave them all kinds of laws in the Old Testament. And whoever followed those laws, yeah, they will not perish. Yeah, so they were the ones saving their lives by forcing themselves, even though it was not very easy for many of them to obey the law. Yeah, but there were some that were able to obey the law, even in the Old Testament dispensation. And we have examples. Yeah, people like Samuel, Daniel, Elijah, and the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Yeah, so we have people in the Old Testament who are able to still follow the law, even though it was not easy for them at that time, because the grace have not yet been released. The grace that will make it easy to follow the law had not yet been released. But some of them, because they trusted God, they were given a share of the grace that we are now enjoying. Some of them were given a little bit of that grace, not the fullness of it. So God gave them a little bit of it so that they can still be able to obey the law and make it to paradise. Yeah. So that was before the death of Jesus. So now the moment Jesus died, all of that ended. So man no longer needs to work hard to save his soul. All that man now needs is to believe in Jesus and to trust in Jesus, that Jesus would save his soul. I don't know if I get to the point. So the death of Jesus is one of the greatest blessings that would ever happen to this earth and to mankind. Though there was a negative part of it, which I've explained. The negative part is that this earth can no longer be saved because of the death of Jesus. And not only that, human beings can also no longer save themselves. From that moment, humans can no longer save themselves. It doesn't matter how morally good you think you are living your life. You know, some people they consider themselves to be morally good. That is, they see themselves as a very nice person. Yeah, so they say, oh, I mean, people look at them and then they say, oh, that man is a very nice guy and a very generous guy. He helps a lot of people. He gives money to the poor. He does this good work. He does that. Now, the death of Jesus means that no matter how morally good someone is, that good moral cannot save that person. Yeah, no matter how nice somebody may be, oh, that man is so nice, so kind, so generous. No matter how nice somebody may be, the death of Jesus means that the niceness of that man cannot save him. Maybe it could save him in the Old Testament dispensation. But now that Jesus has died, the goodness of that man, the niceness of a man, cannot save the soul of that man. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Yeah. So that there's nothing good we can do by ourselves that can save our souls. Yeah. So that is the negative part. Because in the Old Testament, people were able to save their souls through their good works. But that is not applicable in the New Testament. Yeah, so no matter how good you are in character, that cannot save your soul. Yeah, because God has condemned man and this earth to destruction. So now you might be asking, does that mean does that mean we should not be morally good anymore? Does that mean we should not be nice anymore? No, of course, that is not what it means. What it now means is that except you trust in Jesus to save you, you can't be saved. That is what it means. And except you trust in Jesus to help you live a good life, to help you live a moral life, or how do I say the English? To help you live a life of good morals. Yeah, except you trust in Jesus to help you manifest good character, you cannot be saved. Yeah, you can't be saved. So we can only be saved now by trusting in Jesus, by believing in Jesus to save us and to help us. Yeah, and then you might be asking, why is it that man can no longer save himself by his good morals? It is because God found fault in it. Yeah, God found fault in man. Despite all our goodness or good morals, God realized that there is still corruption in us. Yeah, and that was why Isaiah said that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Maybe I should read it for you. Filthy rags. Yeah. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Can you see that? Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are whole as an unclean thing. That is, even Isaiah himself was referring to himself. He included himself. Yeah, he said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Yeah, you can see that. So God found fault in man. Yeah, and that makes God to never consider the righteousness of a man acceptable. Now, another thing to confirm is in Hebrews. If you read the book of Hebrews, you're going to see where it says that the high priest must always go into the most holy place to offer sacrifice once every year. Yeah, the high priest will enter into the most holy place to offer sacrifice for atonement of sin, both for himself. The high priest will go into that most holy place, sprinkle blood for atonement of the sin of the entire children of Israel, and for his own sin too. And they have to do this thing every year. So that confirms that they were never free from sin. God was never, God never accepted all their righteousnesses. Because if God were to accept their righteousnesses, or if God were to consider that their righteousnesses are enough to justify them, they would not have to be offering that sacrifice every year for their sins. Yeah. So they have to continue to offer that sacrifice every year for their sins. The high priest has to continue to go to the most holy place to offer the sacrifice of atonement for their sins. So, and even at that time, some of them might not, you know, to them, they might feel like, I have not committed any sin. Yeah, but God did not believe that, or God did not accept that they are without sin. Yeah, God always see that there is something wrong with them. Yeah, even if they can't see it. So that is why God told them they have to continue to do this sacrifice every year. So God found fault in man and in this earth. And God realized that there is no way man can please him, because of the sin that is in man, the nature of sin that is in man. So a man can try to be good and to be nice, but the sinful nature is still in that man. And only Jesus can take that sinful nature away. I don't know if I get to my point. So a man can do good works, but the sinful nature is still there. So because the sinful nature is still there, so God doesn't consider even the good thing that person is doing as righteous. So that is why now that Jesus has died, your good works can never save your soul. The only way your soul can be saved is by trusting in Jesus. And before you even do that, before you trust in Jesus, you need to accept it yourself. Yeah, because I realize that many Christians, they have not come to that acceptance that they themselves cannot save their souls. And they have not come to accept that their good works cannot also save their souls. yeah, many Christians have not come to accept that. Yeah, and that is why Jesus cannot help them. Yeah, because many Christians, they still think the good things they are doing is enough to justify them in the sight of God. They think because they are doing good, some they think because they are paying tithe, because they are giving offering, because they are doing this, so they think that is enough to save their souls or justify them. Well, that is very wrong. That can never, if that can save our souls, there's no need for Jesus to die. Yeah, there's no need for Jesus to die. If that can save our souls, so it is obvious that cannot save our souls. Yeah, so you need to accept first that you can't save your soul, no matter how wise you think you are, no matter how hard working, how diligent you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, you need to accept that all of that cannot save you. Yeah, we need to accept it. Because if we don't, there's no way Jesus will save us. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, so we need to accept that we can't save ourselves, and there is no good work we do by this human flesh and by this human strength that can save us. Yeah, we need to accept that. Now, recently, the Lord was giving me an illustration. Yeah. I read it somewhere before about rescuing someone who have drowned in the water. Yeah, I read it somewhere concerning rescuing someone who have drowned in a river or in the sea. And the person that wrote that article was an expert in rescuing people who got themselves drowned in the sea or in the river. So now the person said that it is dangerous to save someone that is drowning when that person is still struggling. Yeah, I think some of you here, you can relate with what I'm saying. When someone is drowning inside the water, that expert said, if you want to save that person, don't touch the person when that person is still struggling to come out. That if you try that, the person will also drown you. Yeah, you know, I mean, the person is already deep inside the water, and then you want to rescue the person. You also went deep into the water. Now, that moment the person is struggling to come out, yeah, that expert said, don't touch the person at that moment. Because if you do, you will also get drowned. Because the person will keep pulling you downward. So the person said, you have to wait until that person have lost strength and looks like that person has passed out and that person is no longer struggling. And then the expert said, that is the moment you now pick up the person and rush out of the river. That is, you dive upward. Yeah, and then bring the person out of the river. Yeah, so as I was meditating recently, the Lord was bringing that thing I read some time ago. He was bringing it to my mind. And I was saying that is how I save people. So that people must accept that they can save themselves. They must surrender all. They must give up on their strength. Yeah, they must give up on their strength. They must not believe that their strength can save them. Yeah, they must not believe that anything from them can save them. That they must just yield to Him and surrender to Him. That is when He will save them. Yeah, that is when He will save you. Yeah, so if you are still, you know, struggling, you still want to control your life with your own brain, with your own senses, with your own wisdom, Jesus will not be able to save you and help you. Yeah, so if you still want to control your life with your own strength, yeah, you still believe that you are the one in charge of your life and you can do things by yourself and succeed, fine. Jesus will say, all right, since you can do things by yourself and you have the strength to succeed by yourself, Jesus will say, fine, then go ahead. Just do it by yourself. So it will just stand back. It will just stand, you know, stand back and be watching you. Yeah. And that is why sometimes many people don't run to God until their situations have gotten worse. Yeah, because before the situation got worse, they were trying to solve it by themselves. They did not think they needed Jesus. Because when everything has now gone so worse, that they will now be running to God and giving pastors prayer requests. Pastor, please pray. This person is in coma. This person is in ICU. This person is about to die. You know, many times people give me such prayer requests, and then I just look at the picture of the person. Many times I just shake my head because the person is already dead. Yeah, the person is already gone. It's already too late. Yeah, so they're asking Jesus to intervene when it was already too late. Yeah. What about before it was too late, before it got worse? Why didn't they seek help from Jesus before it got worse? Yeah, but it is after it has gotten worse that was when they thought they need Jesus' help. Yeah, so there's no way we can be saved if we don't accept that we can't save ourselves. We must accept it. Yeah, like some people, the reason why they are not prospering is because they still believe in their academic qualifications. They still believe in their business skills. Yeah. Though they're asking God to help them, but they're not asking God to lead them. They think they know how to do the business. They think they know how to succeed. And then God just leaves them and you know, God left them to themselves. And so since you think you know how to succeed by yourself, fine, go ahead. Yeah, after all, there are unbelievers that are also succeeding. Yeah. So God will just say, well, just go ahead and do it by yourself. Yeah. And then some of them, you know, because if you are a Christian, you are not the same as a non-believer. The same way Satan will attack you as a Christian is not the same way we attack unbelievers. Yeah. So before you say, oh, that unbeliever is succeeding, and me, I'm not succeeding. You need to remember that the way the kingdom of darkness attacks believers is not the way they attack unbelievers. Yeah, they attack believers because they want to make sure that you disconnect from God. They want to make sure that your soul is not saved in the end. Yeah, but unbelievers, they don't really need to attack them because they know their souls are not saved. So they don't really need to attack them much. So that is why unbelievers can just, you know, follow their wisdom and succeed. Follow their business skills and just succeed. Whereas a believer can try the same and not succeed. Yeah, because we get more attack than them. Because we are of the light, they are not of the light. Yeah, so if you that are a Christian, you are now comparing yourself with an unbeliever. And you're now saying, oh, after unbelievers, they don't even pray. They don't even give. And they don't even, you know, have faith for, they don't have faith for divine interventions. And yet, they still prosper. So if you begin to compare yourself with unbelievers, you're making a great mistake. Yeah, because Satan will finish you. Yeah, Satan has no business with unbelievers. They are already his children. Yeah. So he doesn't attack them much because they are on his side already. And then you, who are in the light, if you start to compare yourself with them, and then you start to say, oh, they are prospering. And they're not even as prayerful as I am. They are succeeding. And they don't even give as I give. If you start to do that, you are gone. Satan is going to finish you. Yeah. So we that are in the light, we must accept that we cannot save ourselves. Yeah, that we can't save ourselves, that there is nothing we can do. So even if you have the best academic qualifications, even if you have PhD or you are a professor, even if you have the best training in the field of your career, you must come to that point where you accept that even that cannot save you. That even that cannot make you prosper. You just have to accept it. Because if you don't, Jesus will not be able to help you. Because God cannot share his glory with anything. Yeah. You have to accept it. No matter how intelligent you think you are, no matter how brilliant you think you are, no matter how smart you think you are, you must come to that point where you accept that none of these things can help me and can prosper me. So when you accept that, that is when Jesus will come in and help you. And that is when you will prosper. Yeah, but many Christians today have not accepted that because they are so puffed up. They are so proud, maybe because of the academic qualifications, I don't know, or maybe because they feel, oh, they have some money, or they have some influence, or some popularity, or whatever. So because they have not come to humble themselves and accept that there is nothing they have that can save them, or help them. That is why Jesus is not helping many of us today. Yeah, so That is it. By the way, now let us go back to where we started from. I was talking about the significance of the death of Jesus. And I said that that moment Jesus died, and even 3 hours before that moment, God was condemning this that generation and every other generation that will follow. God was condemning everyone and condemning the earth to destruction. So the death of Jesus means this earth can no longer be saved. And then the death of Jesus also means that man can no longer save himself. Yeah, and that there is nothing we can do by ourselves that can save us. Whereas I said it, that in the Old Testament, men could save themselves. Because when you follow the law, yeah, you will be saved. At least you will not go to hell, you go to paradise that was at that time under the earth. Yeah, so, yeah, but now, man cannot save himself. The only way we can be saved is by trusting in Jesus to help us please God. Trusting in Jesus to save us. Now, the fact that we cannot save ourselves doesn't mean we should now start committing sins. What it only means is that now we have to trust in Jesus to help us live the life that God wants from us. Yeah, and if we do that, we will become more righteous than the people of the Old Testament. Let me repeat that particular point. If we trust in Jesus to help us live the life that God wants from us, we will eventually become more righteous than the people of the Old Testament, and will be more pure and more holy than them. Yeah, because they did not have what we have now. Yeah, they did not have the grace that we have now. They did not have Jesus the way we have it now. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, so you can see that. Now, let us look at that passage again so that I can show you other things about the death of Jesus. Matthew 27. Verse 45 downward. Now I'm not going to read the ones I have read already. Yeah, but I told you that for 3 hours there was darkness over all the land according to this passage. And I said that darkness means God was baptizing the whole world and everyone, every man into death. Into destruction. God was condemning everyone to death and to destruction so that no one will be saved except they trust in Jesus. Yeah, that was what God was doing for the 3 hours. Yeah, he was condemning every creature to destruction and was making it in such a way that the only way anyone will ever be saved is in the Christ Jesus, and that nobody will be able to be saved by any good work that comes from them. So now we also saw that. Now let us read verse 50, Matthew 27, verse 50. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And usually this is not normal, because it usually would take time before people die after after they hang them on the cross. I don't know how many days it usually takes people. People that the Roman government crucifies. But Jesus died faster. Jesus died faster than the rest of them. And the soldiers were surprised. Because they were going to break their legs. But when they come to Jesus, they saw that he had already died. That was not normal. So that shows that when that baptism was completed, the baptism of death that God was baptizing the whole world with, when that baptism was completed, that was when Jesus now gave up the ghost. And in verse 51, it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can see, the moment he died, it was finalized. The veil that usually separates the most holy place from the other parts in the temple, that veil was torn into two. So which means Jesus, God was sending them a message that all those yearly sacrifices your high priest always go up to do in the most holy place, to offer atonement for the sin of the entire country, of the entire land of Israel. God was sending them a message that they shall no longer be that anymore. Like that is, he's saying, I no longer recognize that, and I no longer identify with that anymore. So God put an end to the whole testament. In that moment, Jesus died. Now, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to us? This means a lot. But I don't know why many Christians don't really seem to understand what the death of Jesus means. And why they are not living their lives in the reality of what the death of Jesus has given them or have done for them. Now, what does this mean to you? Number one, it means that you now have a real hope of eternal life. A real hope of eternal life. That is, now you can receive eternal life even while you are in this mortal body. You can receive eternal life. And it means you can be connected with heaven. That's also the meaning of having eternal life. It means you can be connected with heaven right here in this body, in this your mortal body. Yeah, before you leave this mortal body. Because the one that is saving you is eternal. And he's also the giver of eternal life. That is Jesus that is saving you. And you know the Jesus that is saving you. The Jesus that is saving you is not the one that have died. Is the one that rose, is the resurrected Jesus. That is the one that is saving us now. And he died to be able to do that. Yeah. So the Jesus that died is not as powerful as the one that resurrected. Yeah. You know, don't forget what Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9 to 11. Yeah, and even before verse 9, you can start to read the earlier verses. You can see, maybe we should read it, Philippians chapter 2. So you'll be able to see that the Jesus that died on the cross does not have the glory that the one that resurrected now has. Of course, it's the same Jesus, but I decided to speak in that way so that you will understand faster. It is the same Jesus that died that also, of course, rose from the dead. But I want you to know that they don't have the same glory. The one that resurrected has the greatest glory. Let us read that Philippians chapter 2. Let us read, let me read from verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So you can see that Jesus that died, took the lowest level a God could take, because he was God, but he brought himself so low to the form of a servant. Now, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. You can see that. Even the death of the cross. So that the Jesus that died stopped in verse 8. Now the one that resurrected is what verse 9 is referring to now. Yeah, the resurrected Jesus. That is what verse 9 to 11 is referring to. Philippians chapter 2. So verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. Yeah. And given him a name which is above every name. You can see that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So when he resurrected, God gave him the highest place. God gave him a name that is above every name. Yeah, and that name is above things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And God gave a command that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So you can see that because the one that is saving us, because of where he is, so we have a very real and lively hope. We have a very powerful and glorious hope. Because the one that is saving us is unlimited. is eternal. Yeah, it's not limited by human flesh, by human weakness. It's eternal and is forever and ever supreme and higher than all powers, all principalities, all kingdoms. Yeah, and that is why his name is working. That is why if you call Jesus, Satan will bow. Yeah, it is not just about the name, it's about where the person who holds that name, where that person is in glory. Yeah, it is about the realm where Jesus is, where he's operating from. That is why when you call that name, Jesus, everything bows. Yeah, so now, the death of Jesus means that we can now have access to the life, the eternal life that Jesus gives. And we can now have access even to the place that Jesus is. Yeah, that's number two. We have access to eternal life that Jesus gives. And then we also have access to where Jesus is. Yeah, because now he's able to receive our souls and receive our spirit and keep it inside of him right there where he is. So though we live in this world, we are not of this world. Our souls are not here. Our spirits are not here. Though our bodies can be here. Yeah, because this body has been condemned to destruction. So it will return back to dust. Even if rapture were to happen now, we can't go to heaven with this body. This body will have to be put home in the split of a second. In a twinkle of an eye, these bodies will have to be put away and replaced. It's not like you remove a cloth and you wear another cloth. So this body has been condemned. This is our human body has been condemned to destruction. So that is why you must not live according to what this body and the mindset in this body and the nature in this body is telling you to do. If you do that, you will die, according to Romans chapter 8. Yeah, it says when you are carnally minded, you die. Yeah, but if you yield to Jesus, which is the Spirit, anytime you yield to the Holy Spirit, it's the same as yielding to Jesus. So if you yield to the Spirit, you will live. So where we are, or maybe I should use the word, where you are supposed to be is not here in this earth or in your body. Where you are supposed to be is in Christ all day. So where you're supposed to live your life from is not from here, it's from up there. From up there in where Jesus is right now. That is where we are supposed to live our lives from. And it is whatever reality that is there that should be our reality. Even if you are not experiencing the reality that is up there, you must not accept that your reality is not there. You must not believe and accept the realities here on earth and consider it as your reality. Everything that is happening here in this world is not our reality. Our reality is what is happening up there, where we are in Christ. That is where our reality is. So the fact that you might have a sickness and maybe is not healing, doesn't change the fact that where you are, there's no sickness there. Yeah, where we are in Christ, there is no sickness there. And there's no poverty there. There's no limitation there. There's no captivity there. There's no failure there. Yeah, there's no curse there. Yeah, because that is the place of perfect or absolute dominion. That is where we are. Yeah, but many of you don't live with that mindset. You allow this, your body, physical body, human body, and human nature that you are putting on, you're allowing it to deceive you. Yeah, and the rule is that in the kingdom, you can't get what you have not seen. Yeah, so you need to change your perspective. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about on this subject, but I'm going to stop here. But the ones that you have listened to now, use it to change your perspective. Use it to change your mindset. Use it to change the way you see things. Yeah, so stop seeing yourself as the way your body wants you to see yourself. Yeah, let's say maybe I have a sickness in my body now. I have learned to not even think about the sickness. All I keep doing is seeing myself as I'm not here. I'm up there where Jesus is, far above sicknesses, diseases, powers, witchcraft, demons, Satan, principalities. I keep seeing myself that. And in my mindset, if you are to open my mind, that's what you'll find there. In my mind, that's how I live. So I keep living like that. So I don't even look at the sickness. Yeah, and sometimes I will not even command the sickness to go out. I'll just leave it there and continue to live my life as someone that is in dominion over everything. And before I know it, I won't find the sickness again. And I won't even know when the sickness left. Yeah, I won't be able to trace when the sickness left. Yeah, why? Because I did not accept it. And I did not accept that I can have it because I know I don't have it. It's just maybe this body, that is showing that it is weak. Yeah, and me, my life is not according to this body. Yeah, my life is according to Christ. My life is according to where Christ is. Yeah, because I know that is where I am too. Yeah, so I don't care what is going on. But what I know is that everything going on here on earth, we have to work for my good. They have no choice than to work for my good. Even this body that I'm putting on also have to work for my good. It has no choice. Why? Because I will not stop living from where I am. Because I'm not living from here. I'm living from up there. So I know as I continue to live from up there, everything has to fall in place. I mean, they just have to. Yeah, it's not a matter of maybe everything might fall in place for my good. It's not about mine. Everything has to. Have to. Yeah. So there is a lot that the death of Jesus did for us. Alone. Alone. In fact, another one is that it gives you the opportunity to know God as close as the angels in heaven know him. Yeah, you can know God as close as the people in heaven know him. And you can have that knowledge right here on earth. Yeah, that is what the death of Jesus did for us. And many more. You just need God to open your eyes. Yeah, but do you know that throughout the whole world, only very few Christians are really enjoying this benefit? Majority of Christians are always confused. And I've met many of them. I've met a lot of confused Christians. Majority are always confused. They are always confused. And they are always in doubt. They are always in fear. Yeah, majority. Yeah, and I begin to ask myself, after over 2,000 years, Jesus has died, and human beings are still as limited as we are now, and we can still get the best of the benefit of his death, then something is wrong with us. We have been bewitched. Yeah. I pray you will not be bewitched. In Jesus' name. I'm going to stop here. I want you to pray this three prayer points. The first one is you're going to thank God. You're going to say, Father, thank you for the provision of the death of Jesus. You're going to say, Father, thank you for making Jesus to die, even though it was an unjust death. But thank you for allowing it to happen so that I can have a lively hope, a true hope of eternal life. Open your mouth and begin to thank God. Because if he had not died, there will be nothing like this world again. There will be nothing like human beings again. Everything would have been wiped out by God. Say, Father, thank you for allowing Jesus to die. Thank you for allowing Jesus to die. Thank you for allowing Jesus to die so that I can benefit from his death, so that his death can usher me into a new life and into a new glory and into dominion. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to die for me. Yeah, that's another thing. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He doesn't need that to be great. He was already great before he came into the earth. Yeah, but he did all of these things for you. He died for you. For you. So that you can account what you wouldn't have had access to if he didn't die. Say, say thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to die for me. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to die. Thank you, Father, so that by trusting in Him, by trusting in His name, I can be saved, I can be free, I can be healed, I can be delivered, and I can be helped. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to die. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have given Him thanks. Amen. Amen. We are still going to pray. You know, I see some ministries today. I don't know where they got their revelations from. And this ministry, they are going back to the Old Testament that God already condemned to death the moment Jesus died. So they keep building those things they built in the Old Testament time. And they keep trying to connect with God as if there is no Jesus. As if Jesus did not die. Yeah. Don't believe those kind of, don't follow those kind of ministries. Yeah. Any ministry that is doing anything that is showing that the death of Jesus is useless, run away from such ministry. Because they are of the Antichrist. I repeat, any ministry that is doing anything or telling people to follow a doctrine or to follow a practice that is that is showing that the death of Jesus is useless and no longer needed. I don't know if you get my point. I mean, they are telling you to do something that the death of Jesus have already done. They are telling you to make a sacrifice that the death of Jesus have already done. Yeah, any ministry that is doing that, run from such ministry. Because it belongs to the Antichrist. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there is no other sacrifice greater than that sacrifice. There is no other, and there will never be. There will never be. So run for your life if you meet any of such ministries. So you're going to pray. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, connect me now with all the powers and victories that the sacrifice of Jesus have for me. Or hold for me. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. The Holy Spirit, connect me now. Connect my spirit, soul, and body with all the powers and victories that the sacrifice of Jesus holds. For me, connect me with them all right now. Connect me with them all right now. The powers, the victory, the dominion, that the sacrifice of Jesus has for me or holds for me. Holy Spirit, connect me with them now. In the name of Jesus, connect me with them. Connect me with them. Connect me with them. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. And the last prayer point before I will pray for you and on your water. Now, do you know that we cannot function and dwell in that place or from that place? Yeah, we can't function from that place where Jesus is in glory. And we can't dwell in that place where Jesus is in glory if you are not always walking in the Spirit. So it is as much as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that we can channel or bring down the dominion and the victory and the power that is up there where Jesus is and bring it down here on earth. It is as much as we walk in the Spirit, as much as we live in the Spirit, that we can reproduce the same power that is up there where Jesus is right here on earth. So don't let anyone deceive you. If you walk in the flesh, you will be a slave to sin and to the principalities and, of course, to Satan. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will rule over them all. Yeah, that isn't. And I realize that the minds of so many Christians is too weak, because it is in your mind that you determine where you will walk. It is in your mind that you choose whether you will walk in the Spirit or you will walk in the flesh. It is in your mind. Go and read Romans chapter 8. It is in your mind that you choose where to walk. So which means only you can know when you are in the Spirit and when you are in the flesh. Only you can know. Yeah, because it is in your mind that you choose it. Yeah, and nobody can know that you are now in the Spirit, except maybe the Holy Spirit wants 100% to know. Only you can know when you are in the Spirit. Yeah, nobody else can know. Yeah, so which means someone else can even pretend to be in the Spirit, and the person is not in the Spirit. Yeah, so I realize that the minds of Christians is too weak. You know, in that Romans chapter 8, it says to be carnally minded is death. Yeah, and to be spiritually minded is life. Yeah, so it is in your mind that you actually connect with the realm where Jesus is by walking in the Spirit. So you're going to place your right hand on your head and you're going to pray like this. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me in my mind so that I will always walk in the Spirit. I will always choose to walk in the spirit, in my mind. Oh, open your mouth. I'm beginning to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. The Holy Spirit, strengthen me in my mind so that I will no longer be carnal in my mind, but spiritual. Strengthen me in my mind so that I will always walk in the Spirit, so that I will always deny myself to walk in the Spirit. Strengthen me in my mind. Strengthen me in my mind. Continue to pray like that. Many Christians are weak in their mind. They can't choose what is good and stick to it. Within a second, they are back into the flesh. They can't even stay long in the Spirit. They will use their mind to remote control them out of the realm of the Spirit. So you should pray. You should know what you are praying for right now. The Holy Spirit, strengthen me in my mind so that I'll be able to walk in the Spirit at all times, so that I'll be able to reject the flesh, deny the flesh, and walk in the Spirit at all times. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah. I'll be praying for you now. And on your water, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we worship you. Ancient of Days, we bless your name. Mighty God, we praise you. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. We praise you for where you are. We praise you for the greatness of your power, strength, name, and dominion. We praise you, everlasting Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us how much that is ours, how much that we own, how much that belongs to us because of the death of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for showing us this thing. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you forgive our sins. Forgive our sins, O Lord, especially the sins of unbelief. Yeah, forgive our sins. Especially the sins of unbelief. Especially for not being able to trust in what Jesus has already done for us. Oh Lord, forgive us now in Jesus' name. Also forgive us for not coming to accept that we cannot help ourselves and that there is nothing we can do that can save us, that can help us, and that can make us successful and prosperous. Oh Lord, forgive us for not accepting that. In the name of Jesus, forgive us for not accepting that we can't change our lives by ourselves, except through faith, except through trusting in you. Forgive us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. So now I am asking that you give everyone here the strength to do that one thing that you are asking from us, which is to trust you and to believe you with everything that we have. I'm asking that you give everyone here that strength right now in the name of Jesus, because that is the only thing you have called us to do, to trust you, that's all, to trust you, to trust you, and to believe you, to trust in everything you have done for us. Oh Lord, I am asking again, give everyone here that strength right now in the name of Jesus. Help us to also trust you to help us live the life you want us to live, the new life you have given us. Help us to trust you for your for help to live that life. Help us to trust you for help to live the life you have called us to live. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you bless the water your people have placed before you right now. Bless these waters in Jesus' name. Let your power, as it is in heaven, in glory, even your dominion, even your victory, let it possess this water now. In Jesus' name, as your people use this on themselves, let them see the demonstration of your power and the victory and dominion in their lives and in this earth. In Jesus' name, glorify yourself in the life of everyone here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.